Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for our franchisor client presentation call on 101 mobility. And we have Mark Corey on the line to lead us in this discussion. So, Mark, with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Tracy, and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I will preface by saying that I have not presented 101 mobility since October. That's because the first person I showed it to on September 30th bought all available territories in the greater Detroit area. So I showed it two or three times in a couple-week period and haven't been able to present it since. So I had to do some brushing up, including just listening an hour ago to the recorded webinar from the other day. But let me see if I can shed some light on the topic here and give you a little background. First on the client, he's an MBA, general management, sales and marketing background. He had just returned to the United States in mid-2014 after a five-year assignment in China as managing director of a business unit of the company he was working for. It's a Detroit-based supplier of sales and marketing support services to the automotive industry. He was not in job search, unlike most of our candidates. He had made the decision that he was going to become a business owner. Some of his goals were wanting to build assets over the longer term, creating a prototype and being a role model for his children, being able to shape it and provide value to customers. He felt that his prior employer was too internally focused and out of sync with the marketplace. And he was looking for something that would be sustainable over the long term and make people's lives better and happier. He said it can't just be about the money, although he was bottom line oriented as well. His wife is employed as a research scientist. As a matter of fact, in the course of our working together, she changed jobs and is now working in London, England for a year. He's a belonger, achiever, moving toward, which was pretty obvious, auditory, procedural, although he had been looking at some different franchise options before he came to meet with me, actually all in the green energy space. When I sit down with a client, start the consultation, and go through the upfront contract, one of the things that I do with them, I pull out a sheet that says at the top in bold print, "Attention, please." And it goes on to ask them to let me know if they come across any other franchises that they might be interested in looking at because it might be a company that I work with, or I might be able to provide them with some guidance and information. Maybe I know that it's sold out in the area or it's way outside their budget. But I say barring those two circumstances, if you know I can't make the referral directly and it looks like it's available and might be a fit, I'd encourage you to go ahead and contact the franchisor on your own. But if you give me first shot at it, I'd appreciate it. So when I did that, he grabbed that sheet of paper and listed four franchises that he had already contacted. And, again, they were all energy consulting-type businesses, none of which were EES, but I went on to present EES to him, and I will get into that a little more later on. He showed the PFA showed he had high sales potential, and he rated himself an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of his sales potential and interest. He said he was more comfortable with relationship selling versus cold calling, and he was very adept at direct marketing, and he was willing to do local networking. But that kind of took some twists and turns in the course of our working together, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. His desired role in the business was to run the big picture, including long-term strategy and monitoring KPIs, and letting a manager and staff execute. He wanted to have a team in place, but wanted to start small and build it over time, and wanted to grow into a semi-absentee role in about 5 years. So the deals I presented to him were 101 Mobility, EES, Always Best Care, and College Nannies and Tutors. He was most fired up about EES, probably because he had already been looking at that green energy space. So he rated that number one at the consultation. But he almost dropped it 2 weeks later because of their weak financial condition as reported in the FDD. I did encourage him to have the call with the CEO, which was the next step in the process, before he made the final decision to drop it. And he agreed to that, and that got him reengaged. He continued on through actually going to Discovery Day with them. It was interesting that in his first call with the EES salesperson, that salesperson determined that his operational background would make him a great fit to fulfill the operations side of the business, and that he'd hire a seasoned B2B salesperson to round up the startup team. The reason I showed him Always Best Care, I probably wouldn't have if it wasn't the fact that his wife, who attended the consultation and wasn't really going to have an active role in the business initially, wanted to look at senior care. He dropped that after the first call with Always Best Care because he said his wife is the extrovert and not him. And he thought you had to be an extrovert to market that business. So that begged the question, and I asked him, well, how would that differ from 101 Mobility? And he said he thought that it would be easier for him to call on referral partners because of the differentiation of the products and services versus the crowded senior care field. And ironically, he really didn't start looking at 101 until a week later. He wanted to put that on hold, as he did with College Nannies and Tutors. And on our first follow-up call a week later, he said he wanted to look at 101. And he got excited on the first call, and that excitement never waned throughout his investigation. So that first call was probably the first week of October, and on November 6th, he was attending the Discovery Day at 101. He said he came away with a very clear impression that those guys are buttoned up and they're focused on helping franchisees, and he liked what he saw. The other person that attended Discovery Day with him, the other candidate, was actually an independent dealer of the same types of products in Houston who was converting to the 101 franchise brand, which is interesting and obviously a good testimonial for the concept. If somebody that's already doing it independently is willing to pay a franchise fee and follow somebody else's system. So that person invited my client, Hamilton, to spend a day with him and actually see a day in the life down in Houston. And as it so happened, Hamilton was planning to go to Houston the following week for a Discovery Day with EES. When he completed that, he was still leaning toward 101, said he hadn't finished his pro forma, but he had several of the franchisees that he had talked to that had offered to look at the individual line items and so forth and help critique his pro forma, which is always helpful. And I checked in again with him about the sales and marketing aspect of the business. I said, how do you feel about that after going through the validation and attending Discovery Day? And he said 101 provides lots of leads, so there's not much cold calling, and they also help with connections to the VA hospitals, and thought that would help generate a lot of warm leads, and he could avoid the cold calling. On November 17th, about a week and a half later, he attended that EES Discovery Day and then spent the next 2 days in Houston with the new 101 Mobility franchisee. Said it was a good day. It's actually a couple. They're very hands-on, detail-oriented, which is what he wanted to see. He said EES is great. He loved the concept, but there aren't a lot of experienced support people there, and he just didn't see how they'd be able to scale up And he commented that 101 has twice as many people on their marketing team as EES has at the corporate office altogether. So it really came down. He liked both concepts and could see himself doing both of the businesses, but the background and the support available with 101 was just too compelling, and that's what he ended up going with. So on November 21st, less than 60 days after our initial consultation, he was requesting the documents from 101 for three territories. Here's how, as I said, I haven't presented this in months, but if I were to do it today, my presentation would go something like this with a client, especially somebody with Hamilton's model and background. So I kind of geared it toward his unique business model. Some of the key attributes included in your model are the desire to build a business that's sustainable over the long term and to make people's lives better and happier. You may recall in last week's seminar that I highlighted some markets that tend to be more stable and recession-resistant than others. A prime example is the aging population. It's a rapidly growing demographic, and these folks are living longer and staying in their homes longer, but often need some special assistance in order to do so. We've talked already about the in-home senior care market, but there's another opportunity to serve this aging demographic that's different than the staffing model and offers products that are more differentiated. The name of the franchise is 101 Mobility, which is the largest full-line dealer of mobility and accessibility products in the U.S. Their core business involves the sale, rental, installation, and servicing of products that help the disabled and elderly with mobility issues, and thereby allowing them to live comfortably in their own homes for as long as possible. The products, some of which are proprietary to 101, include stair lifts, elevators, wheelchair ramps, and scooters, among other things. The franchisor doesn't require prior industry experience, but rather is looking for business professionals like you that excel in building and managing teams, problem solving, customer service, and relationship building. When I asked you about your ideal role in a business, you said you'd like to run the big picture and have a team to execute. This franchise system is set up to allow owners to work on their business and not necessarily in it. You'd be responsible for hiring and managing sales, office, and installation staff. You'd also need to build strong connections with potential B2B referral sources and customers, which fits well with your relationship sales persuasion. And as someone adept at direct marketing like yourself, I think you'll be interested to learn more about their lead generation initiatives that the corporate marketing department is responsible for. This franchise seems to conform with your model on a number of fronts, not the least of which is the potential to build a large, scalable business, a sustainable business, while also doing some good things and enhancing the lives of others. Would you like to learn more? Anybody? With that, I'll open it up to questions.
Hey, Mark, did John McClellan, did you get into...
Sorry, what's the name? I didn't catch your name.
Yeah, it's McClellan.
Oh, John McClellan, okay.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm on a speaker thing.
Yeah, the name is just faded from the Metro Detroit.
Can you hear me okay?
What can I say?
He's a part-timer.
Yeah. Did they want to go down the path financials at all? Did you get into that at all with him in terms of, you know, income potential, sales potential, that kind of thing?
Did he get into that analysis with 101 Mobility? Is that your question?
What?
John?
Yeah, here we go again. Sorry about that.
Okay.
The question is the economics. Did he get into and did you go down that path at all in terms of economics with the business, whether it be?
I didn't really discuss it with him, but as I mentioned, he did put together his own pro forma and ran it past some of the franchisees.
Okay, I missed that.
So
okay,
before he made his decision, he was comfortable with the income potential.
Got it. Okay.
Now, and this, he does have a working spouse that covers his living expenses, so he doesn't have the pressure of generating an immediate income for the household.
Gotcha. Yeah, do you, any idea on the ramp-up time on that? I don't know. I guess it all depends on the individual and the market.
Yeah. I mean, they say it can ramp up fairly quickly, but
now, and some people, do you know, some people, because I had helped validate this way back when, came on, they talked about some had a showroom and some didn't. And the ones that didn't have a showroom tend to be a little bit more happy, if you will, in that they didn't have that overhead expense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you get into that at all.
No, they do require a facility to, you know, I guess store products and supplies
yes.
and whatever. I'd never heard it referred to as a showroom, though.
Yeah, well, maybe that's kind of way back when, but I guess, yeah, that's part of it. If you could limit the amount of inventory that you have initially, you know, that
mm-hmm.
certainly help you from a financial standpoint. Okay, thanks. I liked your presentation. I might call on you that. Maybe I'll call you to give the presentation when I have someone
okay.
to do that.
I get paid the higher of the minimum wage between Michigan and Illinois, just so you know.
Yeah, right. Just keep rooting for Villanova, will you?
Anyone
any
else have any
questions?
This is Stephen Hogan. I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How about did there any issues come up as far as competition? And if so, how did you address that? Did you address it early on or through the process, or was it not an issue?
I don't remember the issue coming up early on, definitely not when I presented it. But he kind of surfaced it himself when he was comparing it to Always Best Care and felt that this was a much less crowded space, and they offered differentiated products. So the issue of competition never came up after that.
Okay, thank you.
But what I just heard when I listened to the webinar recording from this week is that, and somebody had asked that question about competition, that it's mostly mom and pop independents that they're competing against. Very few, if any, offer the range of products plus the installation. So it's very fragmented competition.
Hey, Mark, it's Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hi. Nice job. Thank you very much for that information.
Oh,
here's
you're
a
welcome.
Very basic question. That form that you gave your client early on where you asked him to lay out any other franchisors he's spoken with, that to me was an interesting tool. And I'm just curious, is that something that you just rough out yourself, or is that something you even have in a formal printout?
That's just something I did myself. It's a one-page Word document. I can send it to you if you're interested.
I'd love it if it's something like it sounds like a nice tool to use, and
mm-hmm.
I'd be appreciative. But if it already exists, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll often kind of draw out anything they might already have been looking at if they didn't volunteer that already or put it on the PFA. And some people even bear that in mind throughout the process, and if they see something else, they'll let me know. Certainly no guarantee, but just another tool to keep them coming back to us as opposed to potentially going direct to another franchisor.
Well, if it's no guarantee, then don't worry about it. No, thank you very much.
But you know what, Brad? I'd appreciate if you would send me all the stuff that you use that does guarantee results, because I haven't seen one yet.
I wish I had some.
Anybody else?
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Everybody,
Tracy,
have a great weekend. I appreciate the time.
You too, Tracy.
Okay, bye-bye.